Hey there, it's Dale and John again, welcoming you to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast, presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy, is part of a series of topics taking you, our listener, through the performance contracting process.
Today, we're going to take a deeper dive into the partnership aspect of an investment grade audit, or IGA, and discuss how it's typically paid for.
Yeah, and part of that deeper dive is to go back to the model instruments that have been guiding the industry for over 20 years now, which, by the way, can be found at, grab your pen, it can be found at energyservicescoalition.org/model-instruments. In the investment grade audit document that resides there, the language has always existed that in effect partners the institution with the ESCO in performing the investment grade audit in accordance with the scope of work described. The institution agrees to work diligently to provide full and accurate information, and the ESCO, on the other hand, agrees to work diligently to assess the validity of the information provided and to confirm or correct the information as needed. These responsibilities emphasize that the entire agreement is a partnership, and the two parties are working together to collect accurate information about utility consumption, operational costs, and all of the variables that impact them. It bears repeating that the ESCO is to confirm all information provided by the institution or owner. As an ESCO, if you're going to write a contract that holds you to the guarantee of savings and performance, well, confirming information is your responsibility, relieving the owner of any liability for the accuracy of the information provided.
Let's expand on that thought of individual responsibility. It's important for owners to understand that their expectations for the project must be clearly articulated to their ESCO. As a minimum, what does the owner want their ESCO to include in the IGA analysis and results? Details such as financial limitations, things like simple payback, whether each suggested measure should perform financially independently, or whether the savings and costs of the entire package of proposed measures be combined and evaluated to meet the owner's criteria. As an important note, performance contracting was designed to leverage the combining of short payback and long payback measures to be able to achieve a viable, comprehensive project. Other considerations may include, does the owner want a minimum threshold project size? Is there a maximum financing period the institution requires that may be shorter than what's allowed as a maximum in enabling legislation? Meeting the owner's criteria will in fact establish whether there's a viable project, which will ultimately affect how the ESCO gets compensated for the IGA.
Yeah, well, so let's talk about that, John. You know, some folks have been told or come to believe that IGAs are free.
Dale, that's definitely a misconception within the industry, and we've heard that for quite a number of years. An ESCO can't perform a detailed IGA for free. The process of how they legitimately get compensated for their work is dependent on the outcome of the IGA results. But suffice it to say that if an IGA report meets the established criteria set by the owner is then responsible for paying for the IGA. The method of payment, however, is a function of how the ESCO and the owner move forward after the completion of the IGA.
Precisely, John. And to be sure, you know, energy services companies are operating a business, and to deliver the kind of comprehensive study that most owners envision and rightly deserve is real work. It takes real time. It might even take meters and monitoring equipment, and for sure requires expertise and experience to deliver a real scientific analysis.
The provisions of the IGA agreement and the outcome of the IGA performed by the ESCO is such that at the end of the day, the owner can make the decision whether or not to move forward with a paid-for-by-savings contract. If the ESCO has developed a viable scope of work that meets the owner's set criteria, the common next step is to move forward into a contract for the next phase of the performance contracting process. That is the implementation or the construction phase.
Yeah, the operative word here is viable. Let's just reflect back on that definition for a moment. Guided by each state's enabling legislation, but also by the criteria laid out by the institution or owner. You know, it's only by having a clear understanding of that definition of viability can you move forward and be assured that both parties are going to be satisfied with the product.
As we've established, the work of the IGA is not free, and the institution or the owner needs to understand that and likely encumber or at least earmark some funds prior to the IGA, just in case they have to pay for it out of pocket.
Great point, John. In effect, these are conditional procurements, and the contract language establishes what is required to meet those conditions. So you may wonder, what is it that drives the price of a study? Well, for most state programs, there's been a competitive procurement that outlines audit prices for facilities, usually based on an agreed dollar per square foot basis. So once you identify the scope of the facilities to be included in the project, and the square footage, meaning the total area you want studied, then you have, in effect, identified what the proposed price for the audit's going to be. Now, for some state programs, the dollar per square foot has been specified by that state program. So, as always, we defer to your state program if you're fortunate enough to have one, if you're fortunate enough to be able to be guided by a pre-vetted and standardized program. Where you have non-facility applications, we recommend that there be a separate price negotiation. That's to say that if you're going to include the athletic fields at a high school, well, that really wouldn't be priced by that same square foot rate. For situations like that, the scope of the effort needs to be defined, and the two parties agree to a reasonable fixed fee price.
The athletic fields example is a really good example, Dale. Some other really good examples include measures like streetlights, stoplights, parking lot lighting upgrades. As LED technologies have come along, these applications have become a nationwide trend. Other applications might include water and wastewater facilities, even in some locations, citywide meter replacements. So there may be always some form of non-square foot negotiations of the price for the IGA that should be considered.
So to explain that, if you have a street lighting project, but it's part of an overall comprehensive project, not the entire project, what users need to consider is that they might also have things like a civic auditorium or several office spaces or maybe a correctional facility or jail in the project and still X number of light poles. So while one part of the project may be driven by dollars per square foot, the other part of the project needs to be negotiated so that added together, you come up with a final price and complete scope of the IGA. And of course, once you've established a scope of work and a price, what you would be clearly acceptable as a viable IGA, then the means of compensation to the ESCO has been well defined in these model agreements.
It sure is, Dale. There are three payment options that are incorporated in most IGA agreements. One option is that the owner will be required to pay their ESCO directly or out of pocket for the audit. Hence our recommendation to encumber some funds up front should this occur. This direct payment scenario results if the ESCO developed an IGA that fulfilled the expectations that were established by the owner for a viable project, but for whatever reason, the owner decides not to move forward to implement the project.
Yeah, John, and so for clarity, if the IGA meets the criteria set by the owner, the IGA will always be paid for by that institution or owner. Now, maybe it's out of pocket or maybe from the savings of the subsequent project. If a project ensues, as was always envisioned by the institution or owner, the owner will pay the price of the IGA as a fee in the paid for by savings project.
And the third and final option, if there's just not a way to develop a viable project to meet the agreed upon criteria, there's no charge to the owner. This exemption eliminates the financial risk for the public sector of having to pay for an IGA that does not fill the owner's criteria. This is precisely why the ESCO needs all of the information up front defining a viable project before embarking on the detailed IGA that may not result in a project and subsequently the ESCO not getting paid. As a last consideration about the price of IGAs, when in the ESCO selection phase and the owner is evaluating ESCO RFQs or RFP responses, and assuming that the owner has provided a clear understanding of the particulars of what meets its criteria for a viable project, each ESCO's proposed price for performing the IGA should be reasonably the same, regardless of the ESCO. Be aware that the lowball IGA bid is probably not the best reason to select an ESCO. The price from any ESCO to perform this work should be about the same.
Yeah, you know, this industry has been around for over 25 years, and it's pretty well understood what the work is to assess the data, study the utility costs, identify the operational costs, walk through the facilities, interview the owner and occupants, and gather all the information that's needed. So consider this. If one ESCO's price is distinctly higher than the others, maybe the question should be asked, what is it that you're providing me that others are not? Is the IGA that you'll provide be completely different for some reason? And if so, tell me why. What benefit will this difference that you're talking about be for our institution? Now, the same can be said of the least expensive or cheapest IGA price. Why is it so different? Maybe, just maybe, this means that they're not really fully committing to the study that you're envisioning or that your facilities would require.
Well, here we are again, swimming around in the performance contracting pool. We invite you to join us again next time as we begin to wade into the process, steps and components that make up these investment grade audits.
Be well and stay safe out there. GESPCU. See you next time.